A PG-13 remake of an Asian horror film? Those things never suck. In this episode, we discuss The Uninvited. Welcome to the Flop House. I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm John Kingman.
Yeah, we cannot get everyone together in a room anymore, guys.
Why not?
I mean, I don't know why I'm dressing as you
as well,
I've
never been
John.
In this room before.
No, but I don't know. Elliot's...
I think you walked into the wrong room, possibly.
I was going for the downstairs, but the party sounded like it was happening up here.
You're going for the potluck.
Sure. Yeah.
We're having. Yeah, Elliot, I don't know. He got married, and I guess he wants to spend time with his wife.
Yeah.
I don't really understand it.
I think he's nervous that she's going to chase after him with a rolling pin or whatever wives do.
Well, that's why we got John in here, because John also just got married. I think he got married even more recently than Elliot.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And so we got him in here to prove that, you know, you can still do a podcast once you're married.
So this is kind of like an elaborate burn on...
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
not even that elaborate.
Burn on Elliot.
It doesn't actually help me, though, because I can't go home tonight. I've actually been kicked out of my apartment. But.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well...
we didn't really prove anything.
Well, I mean, I proved that I could screw up your evening.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And well, possibly played. The listeners at home.
Mm-hmm. So guys, Shocktober.
Yes.
This is the second Shocktober episode.
Is it?
In my favorite month, Shocktober.
Okay.
And because,
Do you get money every time you plug Shocktober?
Nike has some type of Shocktober-related launch, right?
Sure, yeah.
I'm not sure who owns the patent on Shocktober. I just know I get 75 cents every time I say that word.
Yeah. I think Stevie Ray Vaughan has Rocktober patented.
Yeah. Cocktober?
That's something else entirely.
Mocktober is for...
people who are allergic to October.
Yeah.
Get Mocktober burgers.
So we're talking about October again. What do we do during this month?
We watch horror movies with a slightly increased frequency than the rest of the year.
Sure.
And apple picking.
We also do apple picking, yeah. But that's not based on... That's not.
We don't really talk about that.
It's really unrelated, yeah.
Yeah.
Podcast.
We don't really cover that. And I mean, maybe in a movie minute.
Yeah, not
right now. So we watched a horror movie tonight.
Yeah, a horror movie, not a horror movie.
No, that would have been something else.
I would have enjoyed the evening much more.
Yeah, sitting around with a couple of dudes, watching a movie about a bunch of whores.
Would have been more awkward when your wife came home and we were just watching a horror movie.
No.
Horrible. No.
I don't think you know my wife.
Yeah, no, that's true.
she's probably seen worse.
No, we watched a film called The Uninvited, which is a American remake of a Korean horror film by the name A Tale of Two Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Both.
Neither of them sound like horror movie names.
No, neither do. I mean,
Uninvited, I guess, sounds like, but I don't know what it would be about. It doesn't really clue you into what.
No. I mean, I imagine like a house and somebody shouldn't be in the house. Mm-hmm. That's about as far as it really seems to go for me. It doesn't evoke much more.
Or it could be a movie about what's her face? Alanis Morissette.
Okay.
And the writing of her hit song, Uninvited.
That was a hit song by Alanis Morissette?
Yeah, I think the lyrics were, and you are not allowed, you're uninvited.
Is that off of Jagged Little Pill?
No, this was after she was relevant.
I just stopped following.
I imagine it would be a horror movie about a party of werewolves, and one person turns up, and they're not a werewolf, and they weren't invited in the first place.
That sounds like more sense.
That sounds like a great movie, although I would call that movie Werewolf Party.
Sure.
I think you'd get more eyes. You get a bigger audience if you call the movie Werewolf Party.
With an exclamation point at the end?
Yep.
Yeah.
The Uninvited. I mean, can you think of a blander title for a movie? It's hard.
Ghost? Ghost was a pretty bland title. Yeah. But it actually weirdly ended up being much more appropriate to the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Now think of
Life as We Know It, starring Katherine Heigl. There you go. That's a
they
more
put an exclamation
title.
Point at the end of Ghost. Turned it from Ghost to Ghost. I think that would have been a much better movie.
That's a very
I mean,
good
people
point.
Probably would have seen it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have died a slow, painful death of right. obscurity.
They could have let Whoopi Goldberg really let herself loose, do her
maybe,
full comedic powers.
Maybe the poster would have been her pointing at Patrick Swayze shouting ghost in a word balloon.
Man, you know what? I realized that we have fucked this up entirely because we introduced that John Kingman was here, but we said nothing about him as a person.
So you want to rewind it?
No, I think that, like, before we get into the meat of the movie, which we, oddly enough, haven't done.
Yeah, we've been dancing around.
We're deep into the podcast. We should say a few words about our guest host.
Should we say, or should I probably
you
say?
You should say something about yourself.
I probably shouldn't do the introduction.
Yeah.
Stuart, justify your existence, Joe.
I am a, what am I? I am a comedy director. Mm-hmm. I have directed a variety of stage and video comedies,
mm-hmm.
As well as some industrial shorts for money.
Wait, you weren't doing those industrial shorts for love?
For both. There's a lot of love when you're trying to talk about like proper HR policies. and I think that like it really you need to bring an artist's touch to that, but the paycheck of a whole 50 cents. Yeah, yeah. An auteur's direction.
You've done a lot of your work is readily available on ucbcomedy.com.
Yes, and the YouTube. Mm-hmm. You can go there. I have a channel with my name on it.
And you and I That's met cool. each other during...
Is it like guys getting kicked in the nuts by little kids and stuff?
Yes.
Squirrels kicking people in the nuts.
Sure, I'll watch that.
My wife and I have a very funny cat. And it does a lot of things that uh-huh. we just think are darling.
Insult so. Comedy? Does your cat do insult comedy?
I do voiceovers over the cat.
Okay.
It can't actually talk, so okay. I had to lip sync over
you
it.
You do like song mash-em-ups where it looks like the song's doing the singing?
Uh-huh. Yep.
With
yep.
the song?
The
song's
doing the singing.
Oh, man, I got mixed up.
Metaphysical.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes I just post Nas songs with the lyrics over them and then maybe like some inspirational pictures, too.
I hope you bleep out all the swear
oh,
words,
Oh, yeah,
though,
definitely, because that's not inspirational.
It's not family-friendly.
We don't need to keep those types of Fs and Ss in
No,
there.
But you and I met each other during the production of a show called Video Gaga.
Yes. Yes.
That our mutual friend Sarah Schaefer, now an Emmy-winning
yes.
writer.
Congratulations,
for
Sarah.
For the Late Night with Jimmy Fallon show.
Woo.
It was a music video-themed stage show.
A variety show, really, because we also had like live guests. We had some semi-high-profile musical entertainment. Mm-hmm. Some dancing.
In violation of cabaret laws.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's. I think you've justified yourself.
That's
enough.
Me.
You deserve to be here.
Okay, so now we can get back to The Uninvited, which is a movie. And in Elliot's absence, I'll try and quickly synopsize this
okay.
film. It begins with our heroine.
Probably better that I'm not doing it.
Our heroine, played by Emily Browning,
okay.
who was the elder sister in the Lemony Snicket series of unfortunate events movie. So she is getting out of a mental hospital for youths, troubled youths.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom had died,
yeah,
and that had made her troubled.
In a mysterious fire. Mm-hmm. Her mom had died in a house fire explosion mm-hmm. combination.
Yeah, and her father...
Which is how I want to go, by the way, guys.
Okay.
It's a peaceful
way. I want to go in the biggest explosion you can...
So, like, when you're getting old and, like, it looks terminal, I should just come to your place and, you know, just, open up all the gas lines.
Yeah, I mean, I want you to set it up like a mousetrap thing. I don't want you to, like, just throw a stick of dynamite at me. That'd be stupid. That'd be you get in trouble.
Do you want some type of, like, Rube Goldberg device that goes around the room so you can watch all of the pieces fall into place before you die?
Yeah, I want to be like, oh, okay, I like this. Oh, I didn't realize that frying pan could do that. Things like that.
Yeah.
And then when I die, I want to be, like, clapping. As I get blown off into the neither world.
Okay. There's going to be an egg that falls onto a hot plate.
Yep. And it has to cook to a certain point. Mm-hmm. And
I'm pretty sure you need a mouse running on a treadmill at some part in that.
You need some kind of a live animal.
Yeah.
You or have like to take a somebody scare with a chicken you. So it, it shits out an egg.
A candle needs to burn through a string at sure. some point.
This is just the beginning of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Isn't
it? The Uninvited was clearly a very good movie.
All right. Well, to get back to it, her dad, played by David Strathairn, famed John Sayles.
He's
favorite,
great.
David yeah. Strathairn. I don't even know if I'm saying his last name correctly.
Strathairn?
I don't know.
Jason Statham. Was,
played by Jason Statham.
Was the father in the movie.
So, it was a stretch for him.
Yeah,
I didn't see a bald man in this role.
He did a really good job with the car chase scene and the part where he fought the two giants in the bar.
Yeah, the two giant, I guess, they looked Eastern European guys, and yeah. he covered himself in some kind of butter or something,
yep.
so they couldn't grab his body. It was really impressive.
So I think yeah. his heart had died, so he only had like a 9-volt battery keeping him alive.
They gave him the Hong Kong cocktail.
So. Right.
So what happened is, Emily Browning comes home. She finds that her dead mother has been usurped
sure.
by a stepmother, played by Elizabeth Banks, known as a comic actress here in a straight role, as the evil stepmother. Now, this woman was her mom's nurse, who then stepped in once her mom died to take her place. And
that's how you get the moniker stepmother too, right? Like you step into the place of
you,
the
yeah,
original
you step
mother.
Over the dead body of
right.
the mother.
A step you on
step
the
up
corpse
to the streets.
Right. Two.
3D.
So that happened. And so Emily Browning and her sister, played by some girl who was in John Tucker Must Die, you sure. know, hang out together, complaining about this new bitch who's entered their lives. And there's a bunch of shit. There's a shitload of ghosts hanging around.
Yeah, man, it's fucking Ghost Central.
Her mom appears as a ghost. You know,
there's some little kids because kids make the best ghosts.
Three creepy kids.
Two brothers and like a girl who looks like
you assume
she's
they're
like
brothers.
A pilgrim.
You don't know they're brothers right off the bat. They just have matching outfits.
They look very similar.
Yeah, I mean, but they don't like say anything like, "Hey, this is my ghost brother."
No.
Like,
no, they might just do their shopping at L.L. Bean, both of them, and it's
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it's a normal thing.
Yeah, I mean, they could be just really good friends with the same taste in clothes.
All right.
Everybody likes a blue Oxford and some khaki pants. I don't think that's
they looked a little bit like crazy. Pilgrims.
Yeah, no, they were like pilgrim kids.
That's what I was wondering. Was this a movie about pilgrims? But it wasn't.
Yeah. No, I think that those kids probably just got killed on their way to production of The Crucible, like a
sure.
school play.
I thought it was Blair Witch 2, Step Up to the Streets, okay. So I got confused
yeah.
halfway through the movie.
Sure, no, that
very confusing.
Because Dan said we were going to watch that. And
yeah.
I remember he got excited, then he went to the bathroom when he made the decision that we were going to watch The Uninvited.
Well,
he went to the bathroom while I explained that movie doesn't exist.
But I came out very excited.
Yeah, so...
we didn't want to say anything because you were so excited.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of ghost stuff going on. The mom is like
a lot of shenanigans.
The mom's pointing at Elizabeth Banks and being like, "Murderer."
I think she just said murder. She did not say murderer, which was confusing to me because I wasn't really sure what she was trying to point out about Elizabeth Banks when she was pointing out the window saying murder.
Yeah, I mean, that must have been some kind of like thing where our brain kind of finishes the word, right?
Sure, right.
You or know. I might have gone back to the bathroom. It's
okay.
I went to the bathroom a lot tonight.
Yeah, does there probably have a bladder infection?
I don't think so. It just hurts it hurts a lot, but I think
well,
it's
that
fine.
Sounds like a bladder infection.
Well, I'm not going to go to a doctor, so let's just...
I mean, you just got married, so you probably just got a new piercing down there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's how you keep your wife, right? That's how you...
That's how you get a wife.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've been through an engagement process.
I haven't,
but
no.
Watch the movie A Very Long Engagement. It'll teach you everything about the piercings
oh, okay,
that you'll
cool.
need that and the other marital aids.
That's actually really good advice. Listeners, you should write that down and then email it to me at Stuart Wellington.
They have to write it down and then email it to you?
I don't have a pen and paper, Dan. I'm doing a podcast.
I don't know why you're making the listeners
write it down, send
into
it
your
to
personal assistants.
At stuart@theflophouse.edu.
It's not an email that exists.
So I didn't realize the Flophouse was an accredited institution of higher learning.
It's an educational... That's it's a primarily educational mission.
I had no idea. I just thought it was movie reviews. Mm-hmm.
So you learned something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
So by the end of the movie, the two girls, the titular sisters, if this was the Korean version, which it isn't, but the two sisters decide that they think that Elizabeth Banks has killed three children.
And their mom,
more important.
And probably this dude Matt.
This dude Matt. We didn't even mention Emily Browning's, beau or possible beau.
Like the most awesome guy in the world.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he's a hunk.
Yeah,
a beefcake a little bit.
Yeah, really cool dude.
But the
yeah, and kind of really down to earth, you know. Like he drives his cool speedboat around.
Got like a boat.
Delivers groceries. He works in this really dark storeroom.
Got some cargo shorts, or maybe they're like cargo pants that are just rolled up to short length. A little confusing, but it looks really good.
Yeah, no, he's around water, and water can get on your pants if they're not rolled up.
Well, the point is, the girls become convinced that Elizabeth Banks is this Black Widow character who, what she does is she moves in.
Like a stepfather.
She's a nurse, and then she moves in. She kills off people. And their proof of this is these three children that died, who have been pointed to by these ghostly apparitions. Like the main character finds their graves and then Googles their names, and she finds a photo of all of them. And the mother... Who was murdered of these children is wearing a pearl necklace. a literal pearl necklace, Stuart. it's not ejaculate.
No, I'm just going to keep laughing.
So she's wearing a pearl necklace that Elizabeth Banks also has. A pearl necklace of the exact same make and model.
Which was pretty coincidental, if you think about it. That they had the exact same looking...
Yeah, it's crazy that two women would have pearl necklaces. A really and then, uncommon type of necklace.
And somehow she tries to give that pearl necklace to
her stepdaughter.
Don't know how that's going to work out.
There's a lot of exchange of pearl necklaces in this movie.
So... Now that that's done with.
So this one-of-a-kind pearl necklace is...
No one has ever
seen it. It is hard not to laugh.
The key point of evidence, right? It's this unique, no one else in the world has a pearl necklace at all that looks even kind of like this.
Yeah.
She has to be the murderer.
Three strands of pearls.
Yep.
Well, that's how
it's
they
totally
knew.
Crazy.
Because usually it's either a one-strand or a two-strand...
I wasn't aware.
...pearl necklace. This had three individual strands,
never
thereby sealing the evidence.
Yeah, there's no way.
So at the end of the movie, Jesus.
Do you guys do spoilers?
No, we do.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Why don't you tell the big shocking reveal?
Yeah, okay. So the whole movie, you think Elizabeth Banks is this crazy murderer. This ghost keeps showing up to tell our main character that, she's got to get out. She's next. She's going to get murdered next. And then it all turns out that she has been imagining that her sister's there. Her sister's been a figment of her imagination because she accidentally killed her sister and her mom and then went crazy and then killed Elizabeth Banks and this dude Matt. It was her all along. She was the killer. Our narrator was a crazy person. Huzzah.
Unreliable narrator.
Right. So the real reveal is that Elizabeth Banks isn't a murderer. She's just a bitch. She's just a shitty stepmom.
I think she dug her own grave, to be honest here, guys. I mean...
She was trying hard.
What about the pork roast, man? I can't remember what the actress's name is. The main character...
Emily Browning.
Emily Browning knocks over a pot roast, and Elizabeth Banks comes in, and she throws a whole bitch fit... about.
Well, that was an important dinner party.
It was a very nice dinner party.
The local minister was lit. Probably there. Like maybe not the mayor, but maybe the comptroller.
Maybe the mayor's maybe assistant.
Maybe an astronaut.
Sure. Definitely an astronaut. I think I saw Buzz Aldrin in the background.
Oh no shit! NBC's using that guy for everything important. Now.
He needs some money. I think he's you don't get a lot of money going to space.
He should have brought back more moon gold.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
There was plenty of room on the shuttle.
It was fucking probably empty.
They just brought rocks
used all
back.
That fuel to get up there. They didn't have to use it to get back.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you guys. I was a little frustrated because I don't really like it when a movie where you think one thing and then whoop, they switch it up on you and it turns out that this ghost thing probably never happened. They just threw that in there for you to get scared because, I mean... You think there was actually a ghost? You think there's ghosts that are haunting this person?
I think that she was crazy the whole time. What I was going to say is like...
Crazy for ghosts?
The thing I hated least...
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Sure.
I'm not going to say the thing I liked best. I would say the thing I hated least about the movie was actually the twist.
Okay.
Like the twist, I felt like they played fair. I mean, like at the beginning of the movie, they set up that this is a crazy person being released from her crazy person hospital. And so why should we believe that anything that she thinks is the case? You know, like they do the whole Sixth Sense thing where the sister is never addressed directly by anyone other than our main character. They're never like she's never looked at.
Okay, that's fine.
Like, all of that is like all that is has been played, you know, pretty fair. And, you know, in a better movie, I think it would be a genuinely creepy ending where you're like, oh, man, I invested all my
feelings
in this person, and now they're a horrible murderer.
Well, because you went into it thinking it was going to be a ghost story, but it was actually a murderer story.
Well, I guess, yeah.
To slash him up.
Yep.
To that point, that's where they really they lose the audience, or at least this audience, which is that they didn't invest anything in the main character.
Right.
Like, she's not a person. She's just a cardboard cutout walking through scenes. Expositing?
Yeah.
Exposing?
Well, the shittiness of the movie... Before the twist,
right?
You know, fails the twist. I feel like.
I mean, it is it's a modern horror movie, and modern horror movies have this sense that if they don't keep you constantly scared, that you're going to get bored and walk away from the movie. Like within the first 5 minutes, you need to see a corpse falling out of a garbage bag,
right? Which you do,
yeah.
In this movie,
you need to see blood shooting out of a lock.
This movie starts out, we should say, with a crazy dream sequence. That had Stewart being like, what kind of movie is this?
That's actually an incredible impression of me, Dan.
That was
well, I can't make my voice as low as yours, but.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I was confused. I was like, what am I watching?
You were saddened.
There's who are these people? Where are we at? Or what season is this?
Well, and if it was
why are there so many bikinis?
If it was a Friday the 13th sort of scenario, that first 5 minutes, one of those characters, whoever we were watching, would have been murdered by the bad guy, and then that would propel us into the world of this terrible thing. But instead, it was just a dream sequence filled with red herring.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, here's some unrelated scare moments. I mean, like, the thing is, like, once you go through the movie, yes, they kind of tie up together. But as just, like, a narrative device, it's irritating to just start off with, like, okay, well... Here's a bunch of unrelated money shots that then are going to immediately be revealed as sort of irrelevant right off the bat.
And what? I mean, she's describing this dream sequence to her psychologist. What psychologist is going to let somebody go when they're still having crazy nightmares regarding the incident that put them there in the first place?
Bags full of corpses and exploding houses and dead moms.
Yeah, and then his parting words were, yeah, you just got to work through it.
Well,
you
did also
finish what you started, girl.
He told her to go out and kiss a boy. So I think that was really where he was trying to interject. Like, she needs to really reclaim herself and go out and
Through sexuality, right?
Yeah. If she can just whore it up a little bit, she'll get past her demons.
Yeah, I mean, it's this lingering guilt about getting a guy really turned on and then just not finishing it. Like, that hurts for a guy, Dan.
Yeah.
Maybe we should talk. I mean, in the very, very, the first scene, she is making out with Matt the main male non-David Strathern, Jason Statham lead.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, he really likes her and he has a condom. and then she says she needs to go. So like,
true. that is a seduction technique. It's like, I really like you,
and I have a condom. I also know how to use that condom. Just in case.
I mean, it shows that he. Yeah. I mean, in Matt's defense, it shows that he put a little bit of effort into.
No, he's a gentleman. He thinks.
Yeah. You know, he's a planner.
Uh-huh. Well, that's I think again it's why Matt her, was
to be safe.
No,
that's true. It also means that he understands that because he has genital herpes, he needs to take some kind of measures to protect the people he loves.
He listens to his doctor. He was really attentive to his doctor's direction. And as a result,
it wasn't inflamed that night, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean he can't be safe.
Yeah, right.
You don't have to have a current outbreak.
Transmissible.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man, what a great, great movie.
You pointed out, Stuart, that people in this film don't act like humans. Okay. Like, they don't act like normal people. Like, just like that was one of the things about the movie is...
I did think it was a movie about aliens first.
People do not act like... the best example to my mind is the scene where our heroine... I still don't remember what her actual name was in the
Anna?
Movie.
Anna?
Alex?
Anna or Alex. It's one of the two.
One of the two.
Well, she... let's call her A. She goes to the sheriff with her, you know, harebrained tale about, you know, the murderous nanny. And, you know, she tells the sheriff this. The sheriff's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And then the sheriff's like, you hang out here. The sheriff leaves her in the room. And as he leaves, he turns the light out on her still sitting in the room.
Because that's what you do when you are trying to go out and solve a case.
Well, that's what you do when you exit a room that someone's still sitting in. You're like, okay, well, I want to save the
scene's done.
Electricity, so you're okay just sitting in the dark, right?
Well, I think in his defense, in the sheriff's defense, there's a lot of scenes in this movie that are really dark, and there's a lot of scenes where people are doing things completely in the dark.
Yeah. So you're thinking that this is actually taking place in an alternate universe where people just hang out in the dark.
Yeah, they're like mole people or something. Right. They have better vision than us regular humans, or stewmans in my case.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm a stew man.
Well, I think we talked about the concept that there might have just been a budget issue with this movie because, like, you know, especially with this three-tiered pearl necklace being the, like, identifying, you know, necklace of the murderer, they couldn't get something that was a little more, like, ornate and unique.
Right.
Like, what is the Titanic necklace, the teardrop of heaven or whatever they call that thing.
Or, you know, like, we just, you know, like, you and I were just talking about... Boardwalk Empire in the second episode, like the gentleman like gives his mother like a distinctive necklace,
very fancy and very easy to recognize. Yep.
Yeah, like why would you if you're making a movie where like the idea is like oh okay well a necklace is going to be a key plot point, let's make it the most boring, like literally like the only thing they could have done that would have been more boring is if they just had like a plain gold chain with a cross on it, like one of those tiny crosses.
I would advocate for a candy necklace.
Okay,
I think that would have been unique enough because it has multicolors, and then also maybe if the dead lady had taken one bite out of it, but she never finished it off, then there would be like a few pieces missing.
Right.
So then you'd be like, oh, well, that was
or teeth marks.
Right, or teeth marks that you could easily identify. Well, and so yeah, so
I'm
there's
already writing my screenplay.
There's like there's poor lighting.
Dead lady candy necklace.
There's a crappy props, and no named actors and or actresses lighting. Except for.
David Strathairn and
Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah,
but the main characters, like the daughters, are sort of the replaceable teenage horror.
Well, and
girls,
you know, and it's one of these cases where the name actors—you can tell why they're name actors because they were the best people in the film. Right. Like they created
tour de force, really.
Character. Well, but
it was chewing the scenery. I think is with taking it too lightly
with the nothing that they were given.
Good Night and Good Luck was okay. Uh-huh. I mean, it was a fine movie.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call it a film. But this movie I would call a film because Jason Statham really brought it.
Right.
He really did something much different than what he did.
He created a new human being. It's like a Daniel Day-Lewis performance.
Yeah, it's like giving birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
So another thing that I think we should address is ghost stories.
Sure.
Now you're
don't care for them.
You're too really scary. Angry. You're really angry about ghost stories, and I am too. And one thing that I can say about this movie,
when you say you're talking about the listeners at home, right?
No, I'm talking about you, Stuart.
Oh shit.
One thing that I can say for this movie is at least the reveal sort of made the like the irritating ghost story elements about it more like palatable, because you're like, oh, okay, you know, she was just like, these are figments of her imagination that she is misinterpreting. But up until that point,
I can only assume
playing out like your typical ghost story that is really fucking annoying. Frustrating. Yeah.
I can only assume that she, our heroine, has watched a lot of like bad Asian horror movies. Mm-hmm. And so when she was driven insane, her psychosis like imagines these ghosts that their only purpose is to like tell her that somebody is a murderer.
Right.
Like they're these weirdly scary yet benevolent spirits.
Yeah. It's just ingrained in her head from watching all that J horror that like that's how
absolutely
these things happen.
Yeah, no, like what ghosts do is they scare people into being better.
Right.
Yeah, into learning shit.
Like
yeah.
Police.
They don't they don't tell
like
you
spirit cops.
Right.
They don't tell you what they want you to do. They figure that by like a concerted campaign of scares, you'll eventually figure out what they're trying to tell you.
Well, right. Like Beetlejuice.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I got you to quit smoking, was I just kept showing up in your house with blood dripping out of my eyes and screaming murder, and then I would run out before you could figure out, was I asleep? Or was John actually in my house screaming murder with blood all over him?
Yeah, I mean, how long did it take you to climb up into the corner of the ceiling and just perch there until Dan got up to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, it's a real pickle. I'm not going to lie. It's not an easy task to get up there.
I meant to ask you about this because I thought that that restraining order I put on you was still in effect.
You can't do that to a ghost, Dan.
Yeah,
you can't put a restraining
order. That's where you need spirit cops. Okay. Cops aren't going to be able to stop a spirit, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a legal loophole.
Really complex.
Well,
you have to get a lawyer with a Ouija board.
Sure.
Contact the spirit cops.
Oh, so speaking of Ouija boards, because this really pissed me off. Very early in the movie, they talk about a chalkboard.
Yep.
And they make a big stink about the chalkboard, and they even have a scene where Emma Browning...
Remember how Mom always used to leave us messages on the chalkboard?
She would write us notes that would tell us things that were important. And then they like put the chalkboard up, and then it's never brought up again. Why couldn't they just have had one scene with some ghost chalk?
You have to figure that did pay off. And like this movie was
less than
90...
That was in the deleted scene, probably.
This movie was less than 90 minutes.
Right.
That had to have paid off. But the thing is, like... If they cut the payoff, why was there still the scene of them walking around talking about a chalkboard?
Right, right. Cut it all or leave it all in.
Well, I think they really liked expository dialogue like
that.
And they didn't really care about the payoff itself, but they wanted people to think like, oh my God. Because that was the whole thing. The entire ghost story was a red herring. So they wanted to throw as many little like, hey, there's a fucking ghost, like bits to the viewer, and then be like, psych, no ghost at all.
That might actually be true.
Crazy person.
Or maybe they were trying to sell the tie-in uninvited chalkboards.
Sure.
Which you, like
not
you
a big
bought
item.
One of.
I thought it was going to be a collector's thing, but then
yeah,
it turned out that America hated
the movie, right?
Dan took a lot of notes during the movie on his uninvited chalkboard.
Like, I got to get my use out of that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even that good of a chalkboard.
No, it's
though.
Made out of plastic. The chalk won't stick.
Yeah.
It's not slate, so...
Look, guys, I'm sorry. I didn't get the Consumer Reports issue about chalkboards.
No.
I apologize.
Let's do some research
for not
next
being
time.
A good consumer.
Yeah, I mean, it was just really uncomfortable. So, anywho.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't think that there's much more to say about this movie.
There were a lot of bikinis.
I'll give it a thumbs up in the bikinis department.
There was a scene where our lead actress was hanging around in a polka-dotted bra, which you don't usually see.
I mean, she was like lying on bed, drugged, and then reaching for a butcher knife. That I wouldn't consider that hanging out.
By the way, as you pointed out, there was a... And, you know, Elizabeth Banks gets killed by a butcher knife because, I guess, there was just a butcher knife on the nightstand.
Yeah.
Well, it was a bedtime butcher knife.
Okay. I mean, think a lot of people sleep with a butcher knife next to their bed.
Let's say I would just say if your crazy daughter is coming back from the sanitarium, maybe stop putting butcher knives on nightstands.
But if you consistently give your crazy daughter or stepdaughter a rack of lamb to eat as a midnight snack, then you need to give her something to cut that rack of lamb with. So I think there's pros and cons to it.
There's a lot of midnight meat eating.
Also,
a lot of midnight meat trains coming through.
Also, I think an important lesson we can all take from this movie is that if you have a daughter that's in a mental institution, possibly involved with the death of your wife because of an explosion,
leave her there.
Yeah. Or if she comes home, why don't you make a little more effort to deal with her? Because her dad seemed to really not care that much.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I'm not saying he was cold, but he didn't really make that much. There weren't a lot of scenes of them interacting.
Stuart, he had just finished his big book, so he's probably pretty concerned with his book.
I'm not a writer.
Okay.
But I mean, come on. How long does it take to write a book? Like a couple of days?
Probably. But you know,
How many minutes are there in a day? I mean, if you figure if you can write a page a minute.
Yeah.
It'd be done in no time.
I mean, it's just telling a story. I mean, come on.
That's how Hemingway did it. Mm-hmm. Page a minute, done, send that to the publisher.
Yeah, hammer it out.
Yep.
Get that shit done. Go back to drinking.
Yeah, go back to petting your three-toed cats or whatever he has.
Yep.
Or just five-toed cats. I don't know.
There were some toes.
There's either one fewer or one more.
Go to the Keys. You can find out.
Hang out with those cats.
So,
time for final judgments, I think.
Okay. So, what do we do here?
We make a final judgment on the movie, whether it was a good, bad movie, a bad, bad movie, or a movie that we actually liked in some way. John, where do you go with this?
I'm going to definitely say that was a bad, bad movie.
Okay. You care to elaborate?
Specifically made it a bad, bad movie?
Well, so I was thinking about the concept of the ghost movie, right? Like,
sure.
And I can't remember what the name. I think it's The Haunting, the Nicole Kidman remake of another movie that was
The Others.
The Others. That's a great reveal ghost movie. I'm not going to say what happens because some people might not have seen it. But Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Oh wow!
Oh my
and
God. I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, that was a really good reveal ghost movie. And I felt like that was something where I was invested in the characters and I really enjoyed it. And this, I just didn't care about anybody or anything that was happening. And then it ended. And I thought, this movie's over.
Yeah, I'll say bad, bad movie. I mean, I actually enjoyed watching this movie more than many because, it was
80 minutes long.
And it went along in a good... Yeah, it was 80... It was so short... And there were women in it that were cute in some scenes and weird looking in other scenes, but
just like in life.
Yeah.
But that distracted me at least. But yeah, by and large, I would not recommend that anyone check it out.
I knew going into it was going to be some kind of a ghost movie. I knew I wasn't going to like it, and I was right.
Oh, and by the way, can we say that A Tale of Two Sisters... A movie that many horror fans love, but Stuart and I agree, is a tremendously dull.
Yeah, I'll back that up. I mean, that's basically what this movie was, right?
Yeah, this was a remake.
I don't remember it too well because it was really boring.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, I don't want to read a book when I watch a movie. Subtitles? Come on. Get out of here.
No, that's not what we're saying. If you're going to watch a Korean horror movie, watch something like The Host, where there's a big goofy monster.
Yeah, thumbs up to that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is a bad, bad movie. And I don't know, I don't quite know how I feel that the movie totally, I hate unreliable narrators, and I don't quite know how I feel when it changed from being a crappy ghost story to a crappy, crazy killer movie, but it wasn't very good. I didn't like it very much.
Okay.
Could have used more boobs.
Okay. Yeah. Seeing that there were none in the
film. Yeah, I mean, it was PG-13. I mean, there could have been way... if you're going to have a movie with corpses in bags, you could have stepped it up to an R rating.
Or at least increase the bust size of the girls in the bikinis so that you're seeing more boob without...
Yeah, I mean...
Breaking the rating code.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Just more skin, more skin.
See, it's moments like these that I'm amazed at our dedicated female listenership.
And David Strathairn.
Yeah.
He could have gone topless.
Or bottomless.
For the ladies.
Sure.
I mean, he and Matt could have had a game of touch football on the beach.
Hide the pickle.
He's ruggedly handsome in the fatherly sort of
Matt?
Boy. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So this is the point in the podcast where we make our movie recommendations. A movie that you would say the audience should watch, say, instead of The Uninvited. And because this is, again, Shocktober, I'm going to go, I'm going to say that we should make some horror movie recommendations. Stuart clearly didn't walk in with anything, so I'm going to go with, I'm going to go to John first. I've got one, so.
You actually asked me earlier, and I didn't realize we were supposed to give good movie recommendations.
No, it can be a, it can be a bad movie that's actually enjoyable in its badness, rather than something like The Uninvited, which is boring in its badness.
So, the movie I was going to recommend is Satan's Blade. Good luck finding a copy. I stumbled upon it when I was 13 and I rented the movie Glory, starring Matthew Broderick and Denzel Washington. Got home, put it in the VCR, and it was, in fact, Satan's Blade.
That's what's awesome.
This movie, is a sort of magical thing, by the way, that could happen in the days of VHS.
And my dad was at work, and I was like, well, I'm going to go definitely with Satan's Blade. Knife murderer on the ski slopes. Very few actual stabbings, but a lot of bare breasts. So for a 13-year-old boy, you really... If you're a 13-year-old boy listening to the Flophouse, go rent that movie.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds fair. I'm going to recommend a movie that actually stars a friend of mine, someone that you also know, Mr. John Kingman.
Yes.
I'm going to recommend the movie Sandman.
Oh, I know that guy.
Which is spelled S ampersand man.
S and man.
Yeah. But it's one of these, it's one of these stupid spellings we call them in the business, where it means Sandman. And it's directed by J.T. Petty, a gentleman who I've met a couple of times. I don't know that well, but is a nice guy who directed some other horror movies, one called The Burrowers and one called Soft for Digging. But it is... ostensibly a documentary about underground horror movies and people who are making very low budget horror movies that shade into the area of sort of like horror fetish films. And they also it also has commentary from a lot of sort of horror scholars. But there is a another element of the film that I'm not going to ruin for people who haven't seen the film, because it's best to be discovered on its own terms. But a good friend of mine is in the movie, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But it's fun, it's genuinely creepy, and it's like 70 minutes long.
The New York Times actually gave it a very nice write-up that you shouldn't read because it also sort of gives away. Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching it with you in like a fucking like a basement or something.
Yeah,
that was actually I think the best way to see it. That was pretty awesome.
Because you didn't, you walk into it, you have no idea what it's going to be.
Yeah,
I think that was because my friend Eric,
it was like 4 years ago though.
Well,
right?
Like the deal was with the movie was it played at the Toronto Film Festival and it got some nice write ups at the Toronto Film Festival, but. As often happens with movies at film festivals, it's just going to get picked up for distribution. And so, like, they've been looking for, like, modes of distribution since then. And now it's finally, you know, gotten a DVD release, and you can get it on Netflix. So, Sandman, is my recommendation.
Oh, man. I can't, like... I've recommended so many horror movies on these things that I can't use my fucking brain Rolodex to think of all of them.
Go-tos.
On a kind of a similar vein, I watched a movie called The Last Horror Movie a little while ago, which is, you know, the movie begins like any dime a dozen like horror slasher movie. And then, you know, it looks like the film's breaking or something, or like somebody recorded over it, and it turns out that it's this guy has like recorded over this VHS cassette, and he's like a serial killer or something, and he, you know, has recorded his movies of him killing people, and then he like returns it to the video store so for you to find. And I remember liking it enough. So go check it out. I can't remember how it ends, so I won't spoil it for you.
I want to say on a similar vein, I remember when I was a kid reading a short story that was like about a guy who, you know, like he was like a violent criminal who like escaped from jail. And like, you know, it's this narrative story, but then it talks of like at the end, it talks about how like this guy has wants to prove himself to this other killer, like, and he's going to do it by like killing someone at random. And he's inserted the story into like a magazine or a book or whatever. And like the idea is like, OK, this guy's following you as you're reading the story and he's going to kill you. And I have no idea what the name of this short story is. Like, it sort of haunted me for like years afterwards. So, if anyone recognizes what I'm outlining and knows the name of the story, you should write in.
Incident in Owl Creek Bridge.
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's by Ambrose Bierce. It's actually about the Civil War. Sure.
Incident in Oglala, I think, is the about the Indian reservation shooting.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Feds.
It's called The Necklace.
Oh.
And it's by Guy de Maupassant.
Wait, yeah,
who did The Necklace?
Yeah.
If anyone has an idea, or if anyone just wants to write in, because we haven't gotten a lot of emails lately, write into the flophousepodcast@gmail.com and let me know, or just say something else that you want to say.
Awesome.
So yeah, guys. Great. I think that's it. I've had a good time. Have you?
No, not really.
Okay.
I enjoyed myself greatly.
Oh, that's cool.
So we should sign off. For the Flophouse, I've been Dan McCoy.
I've been Stuart Wellington.
And I've been John Kingman.
Good Yay! Night. Spooky sounds!
Problem that we all are deadpan, dry, bassy deliveries of things.
I can talk like this, guys.
People are going to listen to this and be like, one guy just sat in a room for the entire night talking to himself.
One guy. One guy did all those voices back there.
I know.
That's the reveal.